The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
So today I want to do something different in the homily. I've always wanted to do this, and it involves using some artwork as a way of explaining the scriptures. I do enjoy oil painting in my free time, and I do enjoy art, and I've never been able to actually do this yet because I didn't have a screen that I could have a little image on. So I thought this would be the first time, and hopefully, sometimes it's a teaching homily, sometimes it's more of a moral homily, and occasionally, every month or so, I want to do an art teaching homily. So this is the first one. And we're going to use the gospel passage from that we read today about the transfiguration. Now, the transfiguration is an image of us going up a mountain. Last week, we went into the desert, and in my homily, I invited everyone to go to the desert, which is a symbol of turning away from sin, leaving behind everything to follow Jesus and find him in the desert. As Christians, we go wherever Jesus goes, and today he goes up a mountain, and he makes a special invitation. He doesn't tell the 12 to come. He didn't want all of them. He wanted Peter, James, and John, a simple invitation to those three to go to a place that others weren't invited. It was a special invitation to discover something new and to learn something new about Jesus. So Peter, James, and John climb the mountain with our Lord, and the other nine apostles are there at the bottom, and they get into a little bit of trouble. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to talk about what is the symbolism of the mountain. Like the desert, you find mountains all through the Bible. And the mountain in Christian spiritual imagery is a symbol of many things. First, it's a symbol of God, because God is like an enormous mountain, just the immensity of a mountain. But from a mountain, if you've ever driven maybe through the plains to get to the mountains there in Colorado on Interstate 80, I've done that many times, the mountains slowly appear in the distance, and they're huge, but they're kind of shrouded in a bit of a haze or a fog. You don't really see them clearly. And then before you know it, you're in the mountains. And then once you're in the mountains, you can't really see a whole lot more than just one part of the mountain. So even when you're up close to a mountain, there's still a lot of the mountain you can't understand or see. That's an image of God. He's a mystery. The more we see of him, the less we actually see. In the sense that the more you know him, the more you realize how much there is to know him. So a mountain is a symbol of God. And in the Bible, going up the mountain was a symbol of meeting God. It was an encounter. And so today Jesus, he invites us to go up the mountain, which takes a little bit of effort. So the mountain is also a symbol of Christian virtue that is acquired day by day, effort by effort, to slowly get to the top of the mountain. And so for us today, my invitation is to go up that mountain and to follow our Lord's special call. I think he wants us all to go like Peter, James, and John, to discover something new about him. An experience of the mountaintop is helping us get a new perspective on life. Sometimes we're not really sure where God's leading us. In the mountaintop view, when you get up to a mountain, you can see clearly everything. Right? So a mountain provides perspective. An encounter with God will always help you to see the next step you need to take in your life. The painter we're going to look at today is Raphael from the Renaissance, an Italian painter, one of the rock stars, you could call it, of the time, with Michelangelo and Leonardo, and they were sort of competing with one another. He painted the Transfiguration. This painting took him 4 years to do. It was the last painting he did. He died before he finished it. Parts of the painting, the bottom left corner, were finished by some of his students. But the Transfiguration in the time of the Renaissance was a big deal because for centuries the church had more or less had the Feast of the Transfiguration kind of in different places, but it wasn't something that the entire church celebrated. And the Pope of the time in 1452, so this is even before Columbus discovered America, right, the Pope declared for the whole church that August 6th would be the Feast of the Transfiguration. It's not actually today. We're just reading the gospel passage. And so in the Renaissance, it was a lot of churches and a lot of bishops started to ask painters to paint the Transfiguration because no one had one. It wasn't that important of a day, but at that time, it was now kind of popular. So Raphael, one of the best painters, was asked to paint his Transfiguration. And you'll notice that in this painting, which took him 4 years to do and was his final masterpiece, Jesus is floating. And he has Moses and Elijah next to him, and they're also floating, and there's wind kind of rushing through. None of the painters had done that before, that Jesus would be foreshadowing his ascension. And none of them had put Jesus with his arms open, like foreshadowing the crucifixion when he would open his arms and be crucified. And Raphael also paints Jesus in a way that's very typical of the Renaissance. He doesn't look like, when we think of Jesus, of a Jewish man in the Middle East. He kind of has an image of any man, almost a Roman look to him, right? Because after the resurrection, the apostles couldn't recognize him. He looked different. And they thought he was a stranger. On the road to Emmaus, as he's leaving, they said, "Are you the only foreigner here who doesn't know what just happened?" Perhaps he no longer looked like a Middle Eastern Jewish man. And so they painted him in these ways. Michelangelo would even paint him without a beard. So this is an image of Jesus in his glory. Raphael uses a triangular image, Jesus with Moses and Elijah. It's like a triangle, a symbol of God, a powerful symbol. And then you've got Peter, James, and John underneath, completing the circle. Everything's beautiful and peaceful, and James is doing the ostrich, right? He's got his head in the ground, and John is too humble to look up. He's just listening, and Peter's kind of glancing, kind of trying to see. And you might wonder why there's two little guys on the far corner. Who are those guys? They're not in the story. Well, there were two deacons that August 6th was their feast day, Saints Agapitus and Felicimus. And when the Pope wanted to make the Transfiguration a new feast day, there wasn't an empty day on the calendar. Every day had some type of saint, and so those two lost their day. They got kicked off the calendar, and so Raphael felt bad for them. Their consolation prize is to be put in the corner, two deacons there. So it'd be an inspiration to our deacons here. John heard something powerful on the mountaintop, and that was after they got there, What they remembered the most, one of the things they included, and Peter did this as well in his letter, was to say they heard the voice of God the Father. And the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And the tenderness and the mercy and the love of the voice of the Father completely overwhelmed them. They couldn't forget it. It wasn't thunder and lightning from the Old Testament. This was now the Father Jesus revealed, which revealed to us God as a Father who loves us. And because of our baptism, he says to you today, as he invites you up the mountain, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter." That's something easy to hear. It sounds nice, but it takes a lifetime to understand what that means. We are his beloved children. Easy to understand, hard to live that way. Now, something happens in the gospel story. It doesn't actually end. In Mark, they go down the mountain. And the nine apostles that are still there are in the darkness. It's difficult because Jesus is not with them. And a father and a mother show up with their boy who's has a demon or has a fit of epilepsy, and he's going crazy. And they're trying to ask the apostles to solve this, to help give them a miracle. They have faith, and the apostles without Jesus, they can't do it. And so whereas on the top of the painting, we're only looking at the half of it, the bottom painting, you descend into darkness, and there's chaos, and there's confusion, and there's fear. On the left, you have the apostles kind of in darkness. They got the book out, the Old Testament. They're trying to figure out how did this work. But without Jesus in their lives, this is what happens. Now, there's something beautiful here. The father figure who's holding his son, he has faith and love. The mother at the bottom in the red, she's pointing. She symbolizes faith. The father says to Jesus, "Jesus, my son," he goes into these fits with this possession, and the demon throws him into the water to drown. It throws him into the fire to burn. What the father doesn't say is that every time the son's in danger in the water and the fire, the father jumps right in after him and has spent a lifetime doing nothing but giving his life for his son. That moves the heart of Jesus, who then casts out the demon, heals the boy. You see, Jesus needs to be invited in our darkness. Peter at the top wanted to stay there forever. It's like, "This is good to be here, Lord. It's wonderful." Everyone loves to be on Mount Tabor with the Transfiguration when things are going well. But Jesus says, "No, we must go down. We must go back into our daily lives, which are not going to be as beautiful as the mountaintop." And so while God invites you up and whispers to you, "Come to the mountaintop," we need to also invite him to come down into our life. And at the Mass, Jesus does come down to the altar in the Eucharist. We will receive him. And when we go back out into the world like we have to do, we're going to take him with us. So today, my request for you is to pray and open your hearts and to ask yourself, is there a mountain in my life that Jesus wants me to climb? Maybe you don't have one now, but you'll have one at some point. Doing something difficult to have to climb the mountain like Abraham did in the first reading with his son Isaac, and Isaac puts the wood on his shoulder and they climb up, and Isaac is an image of Jesus who climbed up a mountain with wood on his shoulder. You see, Jesus is the new Isaac, and we're to follow in his footsteps. What cross can I carry up a mountain? When we go back down into the world, into our life, how can I live like this image of the father or the mother who gives their life for their family? What darkness in my life does Jesus need to come to now? You need to invite him into that. So hopefully this little art piece that you can see in the Vatican Museums, and it's in St. Peter's Basilica, there's a mosaic of it, and the original is in France in a museum. If you're ever over there, it's beautiful because it's a huge painting. Right? It doesn't really do it justice here. It's a beautiful place to visit, and hopefully these ideas can help us this week to continue our journey following Jesus wherever he goes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,